Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang.
This week, let's talk about basic health parameters, which a parameter is kind of a measurable issue, that it's best to normalize or improve before you start trying to get pregnant. This is both for sperm and egg, so it's best if both parties involved in the conception can participate. This is still within that 4 to 6 month preconception window, and this is where an ND or naturopathic doctor makes an excellent addition to your healthcare team.
Absolutely. So lifestyle factors can affect the duration of time before achieving pregnancy, and modifying these factors may enhance fertility. Mm-hmm. One, which naturopaths are great at helping you with, is exercise. Exercise in a way that helps keep you in a healthy weight range. So having a body mass index that's too high, above about 27 or less, like 17 or lower, is associated with an increased risk of anovulatory infertility, meaning our body is not releasing an egg about once a month. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking polycystic ovarian syndrome or HPA amenorrhea. If you're having that diagnosis, seek help for these two issues, and there's a lot that we can do to help. So number one lifestyle factor is exercise to regulate body mass index.
And I just want to put in a caveat here. Exercise doesn't have to be like go to the gym and bust it out. Exercise can be activity. Exercise is, you know, doing things that you like to do that happen to be moving your body. It's not necessarily like, okay, and now I have to do a exercise routine for the next hour and a half. Yeah, no.
Absolutely. You could go on 3 10-minute walks. You could have dance parties. You can vigorously house clean.
My favorite.
Yes. Another lifestyle factor that can affect the duration of time before achieving pregnancy is caffeine. So limiting your caffeine intake. Women who are contemplating pregnancy, we recommend limiting their caffeine intake to no more than 1 or 2 cups of coffee per day. Mm-hmm. Everybody asks me this, so I think it's really important to bring up. Caffeine can also affect sperm quality as well. Yes. And has been linked to higher incidence of genetic differences in sperm, as well as longer time to pregnancy. So time for both to reduce their caffeine intake.
Yeah, all of this is like, there's two people involved here, right? So if you're using a sperm donor, that sperm has already been pre-vetted and we know it's decent quality. But if you're not using a sperm donor, then yeah, get his butt moving too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Third, quit smoking. Use of tobacco by the female partner and possibly the male partner appears to be associated with subfertility. For couples planning pregnancy, observational studies suggest fertility is enhanced when the use of tobacco products is terminated. And almost no one recommends smoking during pregnancy, so it's a good idea to quit now before you become pregnant.
Yeah, I would put that almost no one down to like, nobody trained.
No, exactly. No one in the US, no one in Canada.
Yeah. Nobody who's had medical training is going to recommend that ever.
Yes. So that's a really important one. So we've got exercise, limiting caffeine, quitting tobacco, and then avoiding all alcohol. Moderate and heavy female drinkers tend to take longer to achieve a pregnancy and are at higher risk of undergoing an infertility evaluation. So we suggest that women who are attempting to conceive avoid all alcohol. Given a safe level of prenatal alcohol consumption with respect to the fetus has not yet been determined. So in the preconception phase, we're doing it to decrease time to conception. Mm-hmm. And we're also preparing you to not be drinking once you have that positive pregnancy test.
Right. During the pregnancy. That matters a lot. Mm-hmm. Blood sugars are another thing you really want to normalize. So insulin resistance or prediabetes or metabolic syndrome, which are all sort of in the same ballpark, can reduce egg quality and make it a lot more difficult to get pregnant. So now is the time to correct blood sugars to really improve your chances. This is even regardless of PCOS, right? So PCOS as a complex endocrine disorder also affects blood sugars, but this is in women regardless of PCOS status. And so this means work on like a low glycemic index diet, cut out the sodas, sugary drinks, artificial sweeteners. We'll have a whole episode on a good fertility diet later in the season. But metabolic syndrome is also really important in men. It is linked to sperm dysfunction in men.
Mm-hmm. Very important. I'm always working with clients on regulating blood sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing is iron levels. So building a baby takes a lot. Your body builds a lot of extra blood for yourself, for the placenta, and for the baby, right? And so iron deficiency during pregnancy becomes very common. But before pregnancy, if you have an iron deficiency, it's much more difficult to conceive as well. Simply because, and this is not just short-term iron storage, like in your red blood cells, but also long-term storage in ferritin. Mm-hmm. And so I have a quote from a research paper specifically about this, but it says, iron deficiency is associated with adverse pregnancy outcomes, including increased maternal illness, low birth weight, prematurity, and intrauterine growth restriction. The rapidly developing fetal brain is at particular risk of iron deficiency, which can occur because of maternal iron deficiency, hypertension, smoking, or glucose intolerance. So iron levels are really important. And honestly, it's an unsafe place for your body if you're going into a pregnancy which has high iron demands and you're already low iron status.
Absolutely. And when you're visiting your primary care doctor or your OB-GYN, they will be running labs to assess for this. And then that's when you know if you need to treat it or not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Two more things I would like to talk about. One is blood pressure. This again will be with your primary care physician, like Kate had mentioned before. But high blood pressure is a rising issue, but in our society. Whew, bad pun. Sorry about that. It's been shown in men to affect erectile function, sperm quality, and semen volume, and sexual function, as well as maternal and fetal morbidity and mortality. So that means disease, basically rate of disease and rate of death in women. So this is important on both sides, again, of the picture, just like everything else. So make sure that both parties are working on normalizing blood pressure. And even if you cannot bring blood pressure entirely to normal in the preconception phase, if you can even change it 10 points, that's huge. The last thing is thyroid function. So we've mentioned it a couple of times already, but having healthy thyroid function is a really important part of having a healthy pregnancy, and having a low or even, you know, subclinically low thyroid can interfere with chances of actually conceiving and carrying a pregnancy. So we'll have a whole episode on it later on in the season, but thyroid is one of the things you should normalize. This is also an area where your naturopathic doctor can really, really help, because some thyroid dysfunction is nutritional, and some thyroid function does not actually need a prescription medication, and some does.
Some other important take-homes that we wanted to talk about. Couples should be informed that delayed childbearing, especially after age 30, can decrease the probability of successful conception, and couples should take this into account in family and career planning.
Absolutely.
Also, when couples are trying to actively conceive, I suggest sexual intercourse 2 to 3 times per week from soon after cessation of menses through the day of ovulation to ensure that intercourse falls within the most fertile period. So normally that's the 2 days prior to ovulation, mm-hmm. and that semen quality is optimal. Another important take home is to start charting your menstrual cycles to pinpoint if and when you are ovulating in the preconception phase, and take some simple preconception supplements.
And we'll talk about those in a later episode.
Thank you so much for listening today and sharing your time with us. If you like this show, please follow and maybe even leave a review, or like and subscribe if you happen to be watching on YouTube. visit NamesND.com or to healthwiththat.com for more information about Drs. Kate and me, Dr. Amy.